Now back to AgriTalk and Mike Adams.
And welcome back, and we are very happy to welcome back to AgriTalk the Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Colin Peterson. Mr. Chairman, good to talk to you again. Are you there?
I'm here.
There you are. Now I can hear you, yes. All right. Very good. I'm afraid I wasn't going to be able to talk to you again.
That wouldn't have been good.
Glad we can hear you. Well, let's just wade right into this whole climate change legislation, the cap and trade that has a lot of people very concerned, especially in agriculture. Many farm groups have made their concerns known about this, basically stating, hey, we're told about the possibility of income, but really we're dealing with the probability of increased expenses, so we're not sure how we really benefit from this. You have spoken out quite a bit on this, saying that you want to have more input from the Ag Committee before you can support it. Can you just bring us up to date on where we're at with this climate change legislation and where you stand on it right now?
Well, we're continuing to have discussions right at the moment with the Energy and Commerce Committee staff about the areas that we have problems with. We made a little bit of progress. I think the next meeting is tomorrow morning. But we're not anywhere close at this point to having this resolved. And I'm not sure if we're going to be able to resolve it, because there's a lot of ideology that's been woven into this thing. And one of the biggest problems I have is that we're mixing up energy independence and climate change kind of in the same bailiwick here. And that's kind of a dangerous combination, because, you know, they're trying to bring in this idea that somehow or another we're responsible for what's going on in the rainforest in Brazil and Indonesia and other places. I've been to Brazil enough to know that that is not the case. And frankly, you know, some of these folks pushing this ideology, the ideology of theirs that shut down the Northwestern National Forests has more to do with what's going on in the rainforest in Brazil than anything we're doing in agriculture. And I just think that this is a huge issue that we have to get right, because if we get in a situation where we have to account for international land use in agriculture, and it starts off with ethanol, that'll just be the tip of the iceberg, and pretty soon this is going to be extended to all other parts of agriculture, and you know, could have the effect of shutting us down at some point. So I have some real concerns about getting off on a tangent like this, and I'm afraid that if we go down this track, that we're going to end up killing off the biofuels industry and any chance of getting to a second-generation ethanol or biodiesel in the process. So, you know, these things are kind of intertwined. You know, and in Europe, they were trying to develop a biofuels industry. And I was over there two or three times, and their first priority was sustainability. And so the way they were more interested in what kind of, what things look like and having the government define how things should be than they were in the economics and the practicality of getting things done. And that's kind of where we're heading here. And I, for my own personal point of view, can't go there.
Your committee, the Agriculture Committee, is one of several that's involved in this process. It would seem, just to be common sense, that your committee would be allowed to put in the language concerning agriculture and agricultural interests. Are you going to be allowed to do that?
Well, the areas that we have jurisdiction in this bill are pretty limited. Some small jurisdiction in the forestry area, and you know, potentially jurisdiction in the offset area, which there isn't any offsets in the bill right now. But the things that we have the most concern about are areas that are not in our jurisdiction, things that were done in the 2007 energy bill that I've been trying to fix ever since. And so, you know, that's why we're having to negotiate with the Energy and Commerce Committee, because we really can't amend an area that's not been deemed to be in our jurisdiction by the parliamentarian.
There seems to be such a push on this. We hear varying deadlines and dates coming from or attributed to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Have you been given a deadline for getting this done?
Well, typically when there's a referral, sequential referral like there is here on this bill, they'll give you 3 weeks to deal with it in the committee. That's what was done here. We were given 3 weeks, which is normal, which is June 19th. But the Speaker backed off and said that if we don't get done by that date, there is a possibility of that being extended. I don't think it's very likely that we'll be able to delve through this complicated situation by the 19th of June. We're having a hearing on the overall bill on Thursday. And, you know, it's a huge bill, and a lot of us don't even understand everything that's in there. And I'm not sure there's anybody that understands the whole thing. So we'll just have to see how that process works out.
With the momentum that seems to be behind it and enough people really wanting some type of climate change legislation bill, is it almost inevitable it's going to go through, even if you object to the aspects concerning agriculture?
Well, it's hard to, I mean, they haven't done a whip count on this. It's hard to know exactly where the votes are at, but having been around here for quite a while and what I'm hearing from my colleagues on the committee and other colleagues over on the floor, I would be very skeptical that they would have the votes to be able to pass this at the present time. I could be wrong, but I don't think the votes are there. And in the Senate, they're moving in a much different direction. They're more focused on the renewable electricity standard, creating green energy jobs and putting money into research for alternative energy, transmission grid, transmission lines, smart grid, all that kind of stuff. There's not as much talk in the Senate about, having climate change as part of their response to all of this. So even if something happened in the House, I'm not sure the Senate is heading in the same direction. So that's another wild card in the whole situation.
Do you think cap and trade, and of course it depends on what form it takes, but based on what you're seeing now, is that, do you think, going to be good for agriculture? Given all the concerns about increased costs and things like that, do you think there's enough potential income benefit to offset all the what looks to be negatives?
I think it's doubtful. There's some other issues involved here. One is the bigger utilities, they want to have international offsets because they think they can buy these offsets cheaper overseas from agriculture overseas than they can buy them from U.S. agriculture. So that's another issue that hasn't gotten much play. The other issue that's out there, they want to set an artificial date. So even if you're doing something positive that's sequestering carbon, like no-till or CRP that's been out there, whatever, they want to set some kind of artificial date and say that, well, if you were doing the right thing already, then we're not going to give you any kind of benefit. The only people we're going to give benefit are the people that do it after this bill passes. Well, that's another deal breaker for me, and it's completely unfair to treat people that are doing the right thing differently than people that haven't been. So, if those conditions are put on, the international offsets and a artificial date of 2005 or something, that anybody that was doing anything before that date doesn't get qualified, even if we got the offset set up perfectly, I think it's doubtful that we'd get as much benefit out of it as the cost that potentially could be put on us. But nobody knows for sure. Nobody knows exactly what how this is going to play out. And that, something else I should have mentioned, that if we have a cap and trade system, the idea is, you know, that we'd have these tradable credits, and we expect there to be a derivative market to be established off of that, which we assume would be in the futures area and regulated by the CFTC. But I, for one, am not real wild about creating another derivative situation until we get some parameters put on the current over-the-counter market, which we haven't been able to do. So that's another concern on the part of a lot of people in agriculture and outside of agriculture. There's a lot of interest in just doing a straight cap and no trade, if you will, or which would be similar to some kind of a carbon tax, which would be more straightforward. And frankly, I've had a lot of business people tell me that they would prefer that over the cap and trade situation. So you got that controversy out there, too.